segment we like to call Moscow Mailbag.
You ready? Concert Billboard update for Saturday, July the 18th. Tonight, Patti LaBelle at Westbury Music Fair. Paula Abdul and Color Me Bad at Jones Beach and Arrested Development with Disposable Heroes of Hypocrisy at the Marquee. Sunday, July 19th, Patti LaBelle at Westbury Music Fair. Monday, July 20th, The Righteous Brothers at Westbury Music Fair. Wednesday, July 22nd, Willie Nelson at Westbury Music Fair. Thursday, July 23rd, Vince Gill and Mary Chapin Carpenter at Westbury Music Fair. The Cure, Dinosaur Jr. and the Cranes at Flushing Meadows Corona Park. And Spyro Gyra at South Street Seaport. Friday, July 24th, Santana at Jones Beach and Godflesh at the Marquee. Saturday, July 25th, Emerson, Lake and Palmer at Jones Beach and the Manhattan Transfer at Westbury Music Fair. Sunday, July 26th, the Manhattan Transfer at Westbury Music Fair. Monday, July 27th, The Levelers and Uncle Green at the Marquee. Tuesday, July 28th, George Benson and Ashford and Simpson at Westbury Music Fair. Thursday, July 30th, The Fabulous Thunderbirds at South Street Seaport. Friday, July 31st, The OJs and The Whispers at Westbury Music Fair. Friday, August 7th, Melissa Etheridge and Jeffrey Gaines at the Paramount. And Saturday, August 8th, George Thorogood and Little Feet at Jones Beach. Concert Billboard can be heard weekdays 3 and 9 a.m., 4:30 and 10 p.m., and on weekends at noon and at midnight. If you have any further questions, feel free to call the station at 632-6901 and stay tuned to 90.1 WUSB Stony Brook.
Good morning, Sodom and Gomorrah. Good morning, sinners. No, that wasn't your radio sets on the blink again.
Dragon falls me down like a
you say it only happens in the left channel.
You just gotta jiggle it, that's all.
Jiggle it?
Yeah.
Well.
No, not that. You have to go.
Well, I realize what you're saying, but except for the fact that it's kind of hard to jiggle a CD player that size and magnitude.
No, the cord.
To do that.
The cord.
I don't even see the cord because the cord is behind the board.
That's what I said. Reach back and the output out of the CD.
Are you sure you want me to do this?
Jiggle it. That's only if it's giving you problems. Oh, no, I'm not picking that up, man.
I could have told you that would have happened. But I've got to climb clear back here.
Oh, look at that. Oh, can you get that pen for me while you're back there?
That's where all that's. Now, check this out. This is a book from 1978. Been back here for that long.
Staff yearbook.
But you see what the problem is.
And look at you. You got a beard.
Ugh. See, the problem that I've been having with the board here is that, you're playing around with the records and things like that, and I don't know how it happens, but you inadvertently switch things on and off that shouldn't be on and off. You know, like the carts went on before. The record player went on before and it wasn't supposed to go on, you know. And who knows what might be turned on by accident, you know, next time.
I'm sorry.
Well, you know, I don't understand what the problem is. But I'm having trouble with the headphones here. I can't hear myself in my left ear. Now, you were having trouble with the CD player.
Uh-huh.
And it wouldn't play in the left ear.
Hey.
Now, we both just almost had bits of, well, you actually did have something of yours destroyed by the tape machine. That's not an Ampex, that's an Atari. Blame the right company. And I almost had my CD mangled by the CD player. So the CD player consists on taking the CD before you've given it to it.
Try Green Magic Mark.
Now say that again.
Try Green Magic Mark.
And say it one more time.
A green magic marker. Is my diction all right?
No, what's amazing is that when you talk, I notice the needles moving on the board, almost as if, oh my God, we're on the air.
Oh, you mean your song ended?
No, our microphones are on.
Oh.
Did you say anything? Right, okay, well, that was planned, everybody. That was, nothing was unplanned.
Right, that was planned, right.
Right, we organized that whole rap, in fact. That's a script. See, we were reading from pieces of paper the whole time. And just to alleviate any fears out there, everything's under control. Hit a switch. Hit a switch. Hit a switch. Damn it. Okay. Everything's fine. This is brain damage, and we're all under control and happy and things like that. I'm glad you're here, Kevin. Yeah, for moral support, for one thing, but I'm glad you're here at the moment because I was going.
That's like the first time I've
heard
that.
Well, I'm glad you're here. I wish you wouldn't make noises like that.
You got dust all over the place. I'm about to sneeze my brain down.
Have you seen this record?
That's a CD.
Have you seen this record?
No. Give me.
Well, that's not the record. That's a sleeve. But
give me.
What I just gave to you was the Clash tribute, The Never Ending Story Part 1. And what I'd like to play for you right now.
Okay.
And of course, anybody listening as well. I mean, you know, I am playing it mostly for Kevin. But if anybody, you know, the millions of people out there cares to listen in on this, fine, go right ahead. See if I care. This is a compilation of 19 songs done by different groups, groups such as Bad News, The Moonflowers, Mass, Walls Have Ears.
Attila the Stockbroker.
Them too, yeah.
All doing
Clash covers. And not just the famous Clash covers, but, you know, some things like Somebody Got Murdered, Bank Robber, English Civil War, Charlie Don't Surf. You know, a lot of the good stuff that you don't hear on the radio, even in its original form. But I'd like to play you this version of London's Calling. It really... it kind of rubs me the right way, and hopefully people out there will get into it as well. Take a listen to this. This is, by the way, Serious Drinking is the name of the band, London's Burning.
We ready? London's Burning!
Well, what do you think?
Oh, you didn't tell me it was a reprise.
It's not a funny song.
I'm not laughing.
Well, that sounded like a laugh to me.
Excuse me.
Okay, you want something?
My afflictions.
Want something a little more meat on it, huh?
Yeah, tell the stockbroker, because I gave you that record. Remember it had all the Albanian folk songs
on
it?
Yeah, it did.
And you liked it, didn't you?
Was Attila the Stockbroker on that?
Yeah, he's right here. See?
Was he on that record that you gave?
Yeah, he was doing the Albanian.
Oh.
Albanian.
All of a sudden, it all makes sense now.
Click,
okay.
Click, click.
This, Attila the Stockbroker does a version of Washington Bullets, which I think is a really good version. It's kind of like a, well, let's see, how can I describe this? Not an Arlo Guthrie kind of a thing, but maybe. I don't know.
English modern.
Billy
folk.
Bragg, that's what I'd say.
Really?
Yeah, I'd say it's a Billy Bragg kind of a thing.
Billy Bragg kind of a guy.
Well, let's just listen to this. Washington Bullets from Attila the Stockbroker. The New World Order Mix. This is Brain Damage. We'll be taking phone calls in just a little while.
Children are playing the street again. Don't you know what happened down there? The youth of 14 got shot down there. The cocaine guns are jamming downtown. The killing clowns, the blood money men. Shooting those Washington bullets again. And every cell in Shirley will tell the cries of the tortured men. Remember I and thee in the days before the army came. Please remember Victor Jara in the Santiago Stadium. Las Verdas, those Washington bullets again. Pigs in 1961, a banner for the playboy in the Cuban sun. But Castro is a color that's redder than red. But Washington bullets want Castro dead. Castro from the era when the color of hope was red. Mikhail stood well through his ordeal, the last defender of the great ideal. He led his party towards the light. Now he's stabbed in the back by left and right. Washington smiles and Vaiza cries. Come on down, Yeltsin, collect your prize. You will order as the dream of a new world dies. Vietnam, Panama, desert storm. Washington bullets set Aiken for. Now there's no need for bullets, just threats and cash. TV dinners and video trash. It's what the peasants want and it's what they'll get. Oh, Mikhail, how they forget. Off to market without a safety net. And pimps come out to play. Now we've given it all away. New world order, and the dollar says obey.
And that is Attila the Stockbroker with a remake of Washington Bullets by The Clash. The New World Order Mix. Wow. Different, I'll say. And we have 17 more songs on this CD, which we'll get to at various points throughout the rest of our lives. Our phone number is 632-6901. The program is Brain Damage. And it's been an interesting week. If you watched the convention, you saw all kinds of propaganda and speeches and things like that. From Mario Cuomo to Jesse Jackson to Al Gore and his cute little kid, whose crowning glory was being hit by a car so his father could make a real touching speech and win over the hearts of Americans left and right who would forget about his evil wife, Tipper. and her plans for the record industry over the next 4 years. Yes. And then, of course, we had Clinton with his three-hour speech. That's one thing I dread, you know, is three-hour speeches. It's one thing about Bush. He's quick and to the point. And you have no more Perot. Perot dropping out of the race. But not taking his name off the ballot. Go figure that one. If you so desire. Interesting week. Interesting week of politics. And we still have the Republicans to go. And another 4 months of this? I need to get this out of my head. In the news, Democrats Bill Clinton and Al Gore have made their last campaign stop for the day as they visited the town of McKeesport. Okay, McKeesport, Pennsylvania, where 2,000 people turned out for a rally. Sitting beneath a statue of President John F. Kennedy, who Clinton met when he was 16 years old and somehow managed to get the videotape of it, Clinton spent about an hour taking questions from the audience. His running mate, Al Gore, took a swipe at President Bush on foreign policy. Gore said that Saddam Hussein is still there in Iraq, thumbing his nose at the rest of the world, adding that wasn't what he had in mind for an outcome when he backed Bush's Persian Gulf War effort. I wonder what he had in mind. Clinton and Gore are taking their campaign on the road in the form of a luxury bus, which must be a lot of fun. State coordinators of Ross Perot's aborted presidential quest say, and it was aborted by his own choice, too, for all you pro-lifers out there. They say they want to form a new political movement, possibly to be called, and this is weird, Owners of America. Volunteers tantalized by Perot's offer to become the driving force of a new movement met with a Texas billionaire in Dallas today as they fought to keep their grassroots group together. But without a candidate, the new coalition appears to be in a state of flux. At a news conference, leaders said Perot is shrinking down his national office to the size of a shoebox and that some of their state officers have already fled to other candidates. The group has no platform, but wants President Bush and Bill Clinton to sign on to it anyway. Leaders say they have no idea yet how the group is going to form consensus among 50 states. I have no idea about these people anymore. I mean, everybody that seemed to want Perot just seemed to want somebody else. They never really said in words what it was he stood for. And now they don't even have him. Or a platform. Well, President Bush has mixed a liberal dose, get it, of partisan politics and remarks on restoring traditional family values in a speech at Brigham Young University. Bush was greeted by thunderous applause by about 15,000 people at BYU's Marriott Center. Bush complimented Utah and the predominant Mormon church for allegiance to the family values he says are necessary to put America back on track. Values like polygamy, I suppose. He called again for a Republican Congress, a line item veto, and for federal money so parents can pick their children's schools. He also made another appeal to Ross Perot's supporters. And basking in the afterglow of a successful convention and the withdrawal of Perot, Bill Clinton has grabbed a commanding lead in a string of polls. Three separate post-convention polls show Clinton leading President Bush by 20 or more percentage points. Seems pretty amazing, doesn't it? But keep in mind, after the Democratic convention 4 years ago, Dukakis had 51% of the vote. Bush had substantially less, and guess what happened? A Newsweek poll with a margin of error of 4% shows Clinton would receive 59% of the vote and Bush 32%. A Time CNN poll shows Clinton favored by 49% compared to 29% for Bush and 22% undecided. And a New York Times poll, as well as CBS News, had Clinton in front by 55% to Bush's 31%. Well, the vision of a global epidemic overshadows the opening tomorrow of a week-long review by AIDS experts. 10,000 people, including doctors, scientists, activists, and people dying of the disease, are gathering in Amsterdam. The epidemic has leveled off in the United States and Western Europe, but many fear some of the world's poorest regions could be ravaged by the spread of the AIDS virus through heterosexual intercourse. This year's International Conference on AIDS is the eighth. It brings together the top minds on the disease from more than 100 countries. And Newsweek magazine is reporting on the possibility of a new strain of the AIDS virus, one that's undetectable. Oh boy. The magazine cites at least 11 cases of people who developed AIDS without testing positive for the virus. Newsweek says six of the HIV-negative patients are American and their cases are under study by the National Centers for Disease Control. It didn't specify where the other patients are from. Newsweek says a new virus isn't the only possible explanation for the HIV-negative AIDS cases. Experts are trying to determine whether AIDS may also be caused by other germs or conditions that result in suppression of the immune system. It's reported that the Savannah River nuclear weapons plant routinely released a radioactive gas in the 1950s. The Augusta Chronicle says the Energy Department reports the South Carolina plant deliberately released relatively large amounts of tritium. The newspaper says the department now acknowledges the releases were a mistake and plans to study possible health effects. Plant officials reportedly said the releases posed no threat. The agency never publicized the tritium releases for fear it might help the Soviet Union determine how much nuclear material the plant produced. It's called Dying for Your Country. Rodney King, whose beating by Los Angeles police officers was caught on videotape, is himself the target of a new rap song. The tune by Houston rap artist Willie D accuses King of selling out to whites in his televised appeal for peace in the wake of the Los Angeles riots. Scheduled for release in the next 10 days, the rap song Rodney K contends that singing, holding hands, and rallies won't resolve the nation's racial problems and poverty. The rapper mocks the civil rights chorus, "We Shall Overcome," and concludes with Willie D yelling to King, "You're a sellout." The spokesman for King's attorney says King is disgusted by the rap, which radio stations are declining to play. Well, if we get it, we'll play it and let you decide, because we don't believe in censorship here at USB. It's 12:30. The program is Brain Damage, and we'd like to hear what's on your mind. 632-6901, and I guess we'll open up those other lines. 632-6500. Good morning.
Hey, Eric. It's always good to talk to you. It's Brian. How you doing?
Oh, it's always good to talk. That's nice to know. You mean even at 3 in the morning would be good to talk to me.
Yeah. My feelings are I'd like to talk about convention. Is Barbara Jordan finished with her speech yet?
She finished up a couple of days ago, yeah. You know, you have a horrible hum on your line.
Oh, really? Let me, is that better?
No. You made a loud click, and now there's still the hum. But it's okay. We can live with it.
Okay. But I thought that Al Gore's speech was really great. I think,
I don't know. I think, I kept asking myself, why does his kid getting hit by a car have anything to do in the God's name for him being vice president?
I also thought that it was gory when he compared his kid laying in the gutter to America. I thought that was very uncalled for.
Gory, huh? That's good, yes.
But, and also, with Bubba Clinton, he stole, let's see, should we go down the list? Abraham Lincoln, Ronald Reagan, and so on.
When did he steal Ronald Reagan?
He used excerpts in his speech Thursday night.
Uh-huh.
From Lincoln's convention address and Reagan's. It was just... It wasn't his speech. He needed a new speechwriter.
Really?
But I thought Bill Bradley's speech was excellent.
Uh-huh.
But getting to Ross Perot, I'm really confused. Is he running? Is he not running? Is he running? Is he not running?
You know, I don't think he knows.
Because, did you see him on
Larry
King?
I don't think he has the slightest idea. Sorry?
Did you see him on Larry King last night? Larry King Live.
He was on Larry King as well as Barbara Walters?
Yeah, Barbara Walters was taped. He was on Larry King Live. And
aren't they both on at the same time?
Yeah, why not?
That's amazing. I didn't see either one, though. So I just made it easy on myself.
I didn't see the Barbara Walters because I can't stand her.
Uh-huh.
Her and Tipper Gore, but he said, because they had the Perot Petition Committee, that two areas that it's in effect, and they went to both areas, and he talked to them, and he said that he's going to meet with the superdelegates from all the states.
Right.
And then decide on his decision. So I guess if they say they want him to run, is he going to run?
Well, he said he would serve if he was elected, but he's not going to campaign. It would be interesting, you know, if he really is that strong a candidate, maybe he doesn't have to campaign.
I don't like him. He's like a squirrely little dude. There's nothing about him, you know?
If Jesus Christ came down from the heavens, and this is only a hypothetical situation, so don't everybody go crazy, but if Jesus Christ came down from the heavens and said, I wish to be elected to president, he wouldn't have to do a whole lot of campaigning, I can tell you that.
Yeah.
He'd just have to sit back and come November, he'd probably win. Maybe Ross Perot figures the same thing. He can save some money doing this, and who knows? It would be unconventional.
He just looks like a little scary. He looks like a Martian, first of all.
Jesus Christ?
No, Ross Perot.
Oh, you better be careful there. There's a lot of Bible belt on the island here.
I'm not going to make fun of the J-Man, Eric.
Don't do that, no.
But there's just something scary about him. It's like... He looks like a little Nazi. I don't know what he looks like.
Well, I mean, I don't think you can look like a Nazi, but you can act like a Nazi. And I don't know if he's done that either, but there is something about him that does kind of scare me.
Yeah.
And what scares me is the way people jump to him without knowing why. You know, they're for Perot, but they can't answer why. I think his existence is a healthy thing. I think it's good that people are showing discontent and going somewhere else. But you got to ask, what does the guy stand for? And if nobody knows,
basically what he says, Ross Perot, I'll do what you want. Just elect me president. And his worst move was firing the Reagan guy.
See, I think it would have been great if it did wind up in the House of Representatives. If it was a three-way tie and it wound up there, because then people would see what an absurdity the whole system is, that their vote really doesn't count.
I guess
the House of Representatives
would. I guess Bubba would win.
Probably because the Democrats have an advantage there, but it would be. It would be massive confusion and all kinds of excitement. I mean, I think we could use it.
Yeah. To end this call, I have a challenge for you.
Okay.
Okay, a couple weeks ago, Matt Mankiewicz teleconferenced 9 people on the same line.
Yeah, we're not doing I'm going to just make that clear right now. We're not doing teleconferencing tonight. Next week, we'll do teleconferencing.
Okay, and a couple other points that I want to
And there's a danger, there's a danger in teleconferencing too many people together, which I warned Matt about, and he's gonna go over the limit someday if he's not careful.
He's going to therapy now?
When you teleconference too many people together, sometimes you can't get rid of them. They're there forever. So that's something that you got to be careful of. Really, really careful. And that's why I try to limit it to 5.
Yeah.
And for one thing, it's very hard to talk to more than 4 other people at once.
Yeah, because everyone's trying to talk at once.
Yeah.
But Bubba's in the poll very high, and it happens at every convention. If you look at it, after a Democrat's president, the convention's later than the Republican convention. You can correct me if I'm wrong.
I will, but I don't think you are wrong. I think you're right. I think.
Okay, and... because I guess they feel that if they avoid a convention, because you saw Bubba surge 20 points in the polls, and not sure, they're more like 30, but their thing is they have the convention in August, and then they get the big push, the 20 points, and it sometimes doesn't let up, as we saw with Bush in 88.
Well, that's true. But you know what I'm looking forward to? I'm looking forward to the vice presidential debates, you know, Gore and Quayle. I think that's going to be really cool.
Gore is an excellent speaker.
Yeah, and Quayle, we know about Quayle.
It's a year without the
A. I mean, the rumors were going around this week that he was going to be dropped, and he was going around denying them.
Yeah, I heard that. And then Bush today denied it, too.
Uh-huh.
Which I found, I think that would be the best thing. It would be good and bad, because people would be like... Oh, I'm not going to vote for you. You don't even have confidence in your vice president.
Right. It would hurt him to do that, but it's going to hurt him to have him. And I don't know what he was thinking 4 years ago. I really don't know.
And then other people are going to say, he's out. I'm voting for Bush.
Uh-huh.
But what was the last point I wanted to bring up about the vice presidential?
What if Bush got Ross Perot as his vice president?
I wouldn't like that at all.
Boy, that would be something, wouldn't it?
Scary.
Yeah, but what would that do to all the Perot supporters? Imagine if Bush was able to get all the Perot supporters on his side somehow.
It seems like Bubba Clinton is getting a lot of the Perot supporters.
Uh-huh.
If you saw that a news conference yesterday where the Perot campaign manager in New York handed he said, Governor Clinton, here's my credentials, my last Perot credentials. I want to be on your team.
Uh-huh.
And they made it like that.
Yeah.
But getting to the vice presidential again, a lot of people I've talked to this week said that a president's not elected by his vice president. But I think that's absurd. I think if Bubba Clinton has Al Gore, who's a very strong candidate, if he gets divorced, Bubba would just...
Well, it depends. You know, in a close race, mm-hmm. every little detail makes a difference. I mean, if Clinton had Daryl Gates as his vice presidential candidate, it would make a difference. Okay, so it does. It depends on how strong the person is, and I'm sorry, Dan Quayle makes a big difference.
But did you see the Gore-Clinton campaign secured the dork votes?
Did it?
Having Gore dance with his wife on the stage?
That was something else, and that was a bit risque for Tipper, I must say, too.
You see the look on Tipper's face, he was like, I don't know this dance, Al, help.
And it's immoral, too. It's got that devil beat to it, you know?
Yeah, but Bubba then danced with Hillary.
Yeah.
I was waiting for,
What do you think of the song, you know?
You Can Call Me Al?
No. The song by Fleetwood Mac, Don't Stop Thinking About Tomorrow. I that surprised the hell out of me.
Ted Koppel goes, and yes, that was Jefferson Airplane.
That was Peter Jennings that said that.
Oh, yeah. I was like, Jefferson Airplane?
I know, I threw something at the TV at that point. Jefferson Airplane, how could you say that? And eventually he corrected himself.
Yeah, I was hoping, actually, that when Bubba was walking down the street
Will
you Wednesday
stop
night,
saying Bubba? It's driving me crazy.
Okay, Governor Clinton.
Thank you.
Was walking down the street. I was actually hoping he'd get shot, because I think Gore would make better against Bush.
Well, you know, who knows what 4 years will bring.
That's a question. If, let's say something happened to Clinton during the campaign.
Well, they're both young, you know.
Yeah, but let's say Bubba gets shot or something, such as JFK and among others.
Right.
Who would then be the presidential candidate? Would it be Gore, or would it be Saunders or Brown?
I don't know. I think... I have no idea, really, but I think what they would do is probably elevate Gore, because he's pretty well qualified.
Because I think that Saunders would be an excellent choice with Gore, because Governor Clinton...
Thank you.
I just have a tendency to use that word. Governor Clinton really is using Paul Saunders' plan.
Did you see Cuomo's speech?
Yeah, I did. I thought it was very well, and I thought that Bubba had... Governor Clinton, I'm really sorry, Eric. It's just like a natural thing.
All right.
Governor Clinton had to do better than his speech, but I don't think he did. I thought Governor Cuomo had an excellent speech.
Matilda's been up to?
I have a feeling, not him directly, but some of his family has some ties.
Ties. Well, he wears some pretty nice ties himself.
No, with some underworld organizations.
An underworld organization that makes ties? I didn't know that they were into that kind of thing. But I guess anything's possible.
Yeah.
But let me ask you something. Now, I saw a picture in Newsday, and it just sort of clicked with me. It was right after Jackson's, I believe it was after Jackson's speech,
mm-hmm.
Cuomo and Jackson just sort of hanging out together. And they really looked comfortable in each other's company. And I thought, man, that would make a great ticket, wouldn't it? Cuomo, Jackson? Don't you think that would be a good ticket?
It would get everyone's vote, but Jackson, both of them, if you investigate both of them, no one has investigated Jesse Jackson.
I don't know, I'd feel comfortable knowing they were in power somehow. I just would.
Really?
Yeah, even though Cuomo's gotten a lot of heat for the things he's done, I don't think it's all his fault. I think a lot of it comes from federal problems that he has to deal with.
Another good speech I saw, did you see Bill Bradley's speech?
No, I didn't see that. I had, you know, life to lead to. I couldn't just watch these people talk all the time.
I think that would be I taped a lot of it and
uh-huh.
watched it when I got the chance.
Yeah.
But I thought Governor Cuomo and Bradley would make an excellent ticket.
Uh-huh.
Thing that Bradley did in his speech, he was going, he brought up the issues and he goes, And what did you do, President Bush? You wiggled, you waggled, and you wavered. He did that too much.
Wimbly, wombly, wambly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
But I really like Senator Bradley, and I like Governor Cuomo. But is Governor Cuomo going to do what he did for New York, for the country?
That's the question everybody asks, and I really don't have an answer for you.
But I think
the circumstances are a lot different when you're in charge of the country than when you're in charge of something that's part of the country.
But I have a feeling that if Governor Clinton gets elected, he'll work very well for Congress, if it's still a Democratic Congress.
Uh-huh.
Already.
I wonder if Clinton will actually make good on his promise to nominate Cuomo for the Supreme Court.
He said that.
Yeah, he did.
I didn't hear that.
Oh, yeah. He made that a possibility, and that would be...
I heard a lot of Clarence Thomas jokes that they made.
Yeah.
But you know what was interesting? The woman in Pennsylvania, that the senator, the soon-to-be senator...
Okay.
She's a Republican, and she won in a big fiasco. She won the senatorial... primary... And Governor Clinton, to his press conference on Friday, invites this woman, and she's a Republican, and the governor there is a Democrat. He invited, like, all the governors and everyone. And he didn't invite the governor, who's a Democrat.
That's the kind of thing that mixing up the parties will do. It'll cloud your judgment. Listen, I'm going to have to let you go because you got a horrible hum, and plus you've been on a long time.
Yeah, it was great talking to you, Eric.
All right.
Talk to you next week.
Okay, well, it's always great to talk to me, and thanks very much for calling. 632-6901, 632-6500 are our two numbers here. And let's see who else is out there. Good morning.
Hey, what's up?
How you doing?
Not much. So what's up with you?
Not just sitting here, you know, hanging out, playing some records, talking to people on the phone. Other than that, life is normal.
Why do you think Perot did drop out?
I don't know. You know, I think somebody must have talked to him and convinced him in no uncertain terms that his running would not be in the best interest of this country, because it probably would throw us into turmoil come November when we all go to the polls and it doesn't matter. It gets decided by somebody else.
Who decides it?
The House of Representatives would decide if it was, no clear-cut majority. And in a three-way race, it seemed almost certain that would happen.
All right.
And you have to wonder, what about all those Perot people who wouldn't stand a chance of having Perot elected because he doesn't belong to a party?
That's
true. So he doesn't have much allegiance in the House.
And he really didn't make himself clear on many issues either.
No, he didn't. I guess that worked to his advantage, but I can't imagine how you can elect somebody if you don't know where they stand.
I also thought that Gore's speech was very impressive.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but you can't forget that the thing that they do is they pull for sympathy.
They what?
They pull for sympathy by, like, talking about his son and everything.
Yeah, I mean, I think he went on for a good long time about that, and I'm surprised we didn't see footage of the car running over him.
Yeah, right.
It went crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, it's nice. You know, I'm glad his kid is okay and all that, but I still don't see what that has to do with his being a vice president. Yeah, he saw somebody almost die, and it changed him. Okay, great, wonderful. But, let's talk about something a little bit more down to earth than that.
Yeah.
Don't mean to sound cold and callous here, but let's get real.
Did you know that I wrote a poem about the election?
Sorry?
I wrote a poem about the election.
You wrote a poem?
I wrote one.
Okay, is it clean?
Yeah, it's very clean.
All right, I don't see how it could be, but go ahead and read it.
Can't be clean, it's about the election.
About this election, but never mind. If you manage to do it, go ahead and read it.
Ready?
Always.
Oh, I thought so. Okay, it goes like this. George Bush and Bill Clinton are both candidates to be. Who will hold the office, we'll have to wait and see. I'm glad to see the candidates have not been throwing mud and fuck, fuck, fuck.
Good morning.
Hey, this is Rich.
How you doing?
I got a couple things to say about the convention. Do you think it's a successful convention for the Democrats?
It would appear to be. I mean, look at the outcome. Look at the percentages of people that are voting Democrat.
Yeah, but over the past few years, that's happened all the time right after the Democratic convention.
That's true, yeah. But you're asked if it's a successful convention. I mean, that's all a convention can hope to be. Is, bring some attention, get some publicity, and raise the percentage points.
That much attention. You see the ratings for it?
Oh, no, I didn't see the ratings. How were they?
Way down.
Really?
Yeah, they had no one watching it.
Well, the coverage was way down, too. I mean, they didn't have it on very much.
Well, if you want, you had, like, cable, CNN, or C-SPAN, they had it on around the clock.
Well, explain something to me, then. How could the ratings be down when it was the only thing on TV?
Oh, on broadcast television.
On broadcast, when they were giving the major speeches, it was on all the channels. So I don't see how the ratings could be down because it's on everything.
10.6 or something.
Yeah, but multiply that by all the people on all the other channels, too, you know, and I don't know.
Well, yeah, that's true. Well, the Democrats definitely got the sympathy vote, because it was Al Gore talking about his son, which I thought had no relevance to the election.
Uh-huh.
And the, you see the video they presented about Bill Clinton?
That was something else. Where did he find the video of him meeting Kennedy? I mean, that's priceless.
Oh, they got that.
I mean, a 16-year-old Clinton shaking the hand of JFK. That, you can't beat that with a stick.
Did you see the, do you get U.S. News and World Reports?
No, but I see it in the store sometimes and I look at the cover.
Look at it. Did you see the one about Bill Clinton?
Probably I missed that one.
Oh, because they had pictures of him when he was like 3 years old. I don't know how they got this stuff.
Well, he probably gave it to them. How do you think they got it?
How much a Felicity plug, though, if you need that, if you're that desperate for votes?
Well, you know, if you looked ugly as a baby, who knows how you'll turn out as a president, I guess. I don't know what the logic is.
You know how many people in the Democratic Party came from dysfunctional families?
They seem to have.
I don't know if you read it in Newsday. I don't know if you saw the article about it. It was with, they had Bill Clinton came up from a dysfunctional family. Al Gore had a disaster with his son.
Uh-huh.
And Jesse Jackson was, like, beaten or something. I didn't read the whole entire article, but...
Well, it's called life, you know, and it happens to quite a few people. We don't all come from, you know, Norman Rockwell homes.
Geez, now what if you're against the Democratic Party, though?
I'm sure there's a lot in the Republican Party, too. They just cover it up because they're ashamed of it.
And they, but the Democrats are just flaunting it out in front of everybody.
Why not? Because it's what everybody is, right?
It's
everybody's...
Both, so why not do it?
I mean, you probably come from a dysfunctional family in some form, if you think about it.
About it, yeah.
Yeah, it's probably something really bizarre, horrendous going on. And, you know, everybody's got something that they don't want to make 100% public. So why not go for that vote?
I think Perot knew he was dropping out a long time ago. Or
yeah, I think he knows exactly what he's doing. Actually, you know, I just contradicted myself because I said somebody probably talked to him. But I don't know. I think he probably knew what he was doing from the beginning.
Maybe.
He knew what the possibilities were, certainly.
So he was just going to stay in it for a while, and he said, well, I'm just going to drop out, forget about it?
Yeah, he got tired of it, you know. Imagine if he became president, and he just lost interest after a couple of weeks.
Do you think that's why he never named his vice presidential candidate?
That could have something to do with it. I mean, if he did name his vice presidential candidate, I mean, that person would sure feel terrible now, wouldn't they?
Oh, yeah, well, he'd get all the Perot support, probably.
Well, he'd probably continue to run, too.
Yeah, he wouldn't do as well as Perot would, do you think? If Perot named the vice presidential candidate and then Perot dropped out, would...
I don't know. It depends who he named.
Well, like, they were talking to Doug Wilder, and do you know that... Do you think that he would have gotten...
I don't think Doug Wilder is strong enough, no. I don't think he would have really done it.
He was started off for president in the very, very beginning.
He was thinking about it, and he might have run for a very short time, but, you know, it fizzled pretty quickly, I think.
And another thing, whose party do you think Perot dropping out will help more? Because
it's supposed to help out the Republicans, you know, by all accounts, because people that were for Perot tended to be going away from Bush, but it seems to have helped out the Democrats.
Yeah, I think so, because all the people who wanted Perot were just fed up with the system and wanted change, and now that Clinton and Gore are billing themselves as a party of change, they might be luring the Perot voters.
Mm-hmm.
And do you think that accounts for the big boost in the polls?
Well, considering the people who worked on the campaign, most of them do seem to be going in that direction. Perot himself said something complimentary about the Democrats. In fact, he said that was one of the reasons he decided to drop out, was because the Democrats have reformed themselves and are becoming strong again. So with those words alone, he's strengthened them.
Who do you think Perot supports, the Republicans or the Democrats?
Oh, I think he supports the Democrats now.
But I think so, too, because he gave that plug to them.
Yeah.
That he was, and I was watching TV, and this guy from a Brazilian reporter they had on CNN,
mm-hmm.
They said that the people in Brazil and around the world think the Democratic ticket should be Gore-Clinton instead of Clinton-Gore, because Gore has more foreign policy experience.
Uh-huh.
You think that is a...
Well, maybe Gore will be in charge of more foreign policy then, and Clinton will deal with domestic issues.
I don't know if...
Sort of a co-presidency.
If you saw it, Bill Clinton said, I don't want Al Gore to be a... Vice President to sit around in the Senate and wait to break a tie.
Right.
Be more active.
Yeah, I think he probably would be, too.
I think George Bush would make Dan Quayle more active if it wasn't so dangerous.
See, I have to admit, last week I expressed some very grave doubts about this ticket because of Tipper the PMRC and all that kind of thing. But I don't know. Tell me if I'm being too conciliatory here when I say I'm willing to give it a second look and willing to believe that she can control herself, or that she can be controlled and will not be a further menace to freedom of speech and the music industry, or not the industry, but the artists.
I think Kip is going to be the Dan Quayle of the Democrats.
Well, as long as she's kept away from anything that's powerful, hopefully that'll happen. And because I think Al Gore is okay.
I think Al's great. Al's good.
Yeah, but, man, he's got some excess luggage that he's carrying with him.
Oh, yeah, Kip is definitely a liability to this party.
Yeah.
Because no one likes him.
I don't know if anybody likes her. I mean, you know, but it's just there's a lot of bad memories going on here.
Like you were saying last week, if Bill Clinton went down, they should keep Al Gore as president and Hillary as first lady because they don't have Kip in any office of power.
Right. I don't think it should follow that, you know, the first lady automatically gets the vice president's wife automatically becomes the first lady if the president dies. I think he should keep the old first lady and just sort of swap.
I think that's true. Do you think the Republican convention will have the same effect as the Democratic convention on the vote?
I don't see how it could because, you know, it's going to be so boring. There's nothing going on. I mean, what's Buchanan going to say something? Is he going to show his face? I mean, that's about it, you know?
You know, if Dan Quayle say something stupid.
Hey, did Jerry Brown ever get a chance to speak?
I don't think he did. I don't know.
Because I couldn't understand why they wouldn't let him speak, you know? He made some very good points. He said debate is healthy, and it is. And they certainly should have allowed him to if they didn't. I didn't watch the whole thing, so I don't know for sure.
I watched most of it, and the reason they said that they didn't want Jerry Brown speaking is because he didn't fully support the Democratic Party.
Well, then why was he there?
Well, I don't know, because he wasn't promoting unity like everybody else there was.
Uh-huh.
And that's the reason they won't let him speak.
Yeah, but unity is not defined by shutting up your opponents.
That's true. But I thought they would let him speak, but not that much.
They definitely should have if they didn't. And if they didn't, that's a very bad sign, I think.
I don't know. I think at the end, Jerry Brown finally gave in and said, all right, fine, I'll back this ticket.
Yeah, of course. I'm sure he was going to do that the whole way through. But, you know, at least hear from another side.
You know what I thought was horrible?
What?
That in Bill Clinton's Day in the Sun, Ross Perot comes out and says this and takes away the headline.
Yeah, he certainly did. He got a three-line headline in the New York Times.
I don't know. On Newsday, they give him half and half a piece. So.
Yeah. No, he took away his glory, but he might have helped him out in the long run.
Well, if he gave him all the voters, I'm sure Bill Clinton wouldn't mind giving away the press time just for the voters. So, I think in that respect, Ross Perot helped Bill Clinton out.
I'll tell you though, we've got almost 4 months of this left.
Oh God!
Who knows what's going to happen in that time? It's almost boggling to the mind.
I don't know what's going to happen.
4 months of this.
Well, who do you think is going to win in the end, really?
Who do I think is going to? At this point, I have to say, I really think Clinton is going to win. I really think he is. I really, you know, at this point, even though he doesn't thrill me entirely, and even though I have all these reservations about Tipper, I have to say this is our only hope, really.
I hope Clinton wins, but I think this poll jump is only a temporary thing after the convention. That's I have to say that.
Uh-huh.
Because in '88, I was for Dukakis, and look what happened to him.
Yeah. Did you see him in the convention, like the, you know, like a ghost or something, just sort of sitting there watching everything?
Anything.
It was incredible.
It was weird. Tsongas' sister nominating Tsongas.
That was interesting.
Yeah.
I didn't see it myself, but I heard about it.
I'm surprised Tsongas got that many votes.
Yeah.
I didn't think he would get that many.
I think they messed up too. Wasn't Arkansas supposed to cast the votes that put Clinton over? Instead, Ohio wound up doing that.
Oh no, there was fights. And one of Louisiana passed. Did you see that?
Louisiana passed?
Yep, they passed.
Well, now, supposedly it was all worked out so that Arkansas would be the one to, when it cast its votes, they had all those algebraic formulas and everything, so that when they cast their votes, that would be just enough to bring him over the top, and they would have all the honor of electing him.
How's it going to happen? Arkansas is, like, right up at the top.
Well, yeah, but the plan was for them to pass, and then for them to be called on later, and a certain number of states would have to pass in order for them to be able to get it. And it was a whole big thing with figuring it all out. But apparently somebody messed up, and Ohio got it.
I don't know if Louisiana is the only one who passed, because I watched it, like, from the beginning, and Arkansas just cast its votes.
Well, wait, you mean Louisiana had to have passed then after Ohio had already given the vote, then?
It passed before that.
Well, Louisiana comes, I mean, L comes after O, right? No, wait, L comes before O. I'm sorry, yeah, you're right.
Oh, Louisiana passed.
Boy, what made me think O came before L?
I don't know. You're working too hard.
I must be.
All right. And what else I got to ask you? About Perot. And you were talking about George Bush getting Perot as his vice president, possibly?
Yeah.
Speculating about that. Do you think Bush would have enough guts to drop Quayle right now?
I don't know. You know, I think he's probably staying up nights thinking about it. Because, you know, if he had it to do over again, I am certain he wouldn't have picked him in the first place.
He picked him in the first place. That's a big question in everybody's mind.
Yeah, well, apparently he figured something was going to work out differently than it did. But how can he gracefully get rid of him now? And the answer is, you know, there's only one answer, of course.
How?
Kill him.
Well,
but, you know, there's a question, of course, as to how to do that and how to make it, you know, work just right. It's a tough situation, so...
An observation about the convention. You know, I said the worst speaker, who I think, everyone gave good speeches, but the person who gave the worst speech was the man who was going to be president.
Well, he did. It wasn't as bad as the last time, though. It wasn't as bad as 4 years ago.
Yeah, they applauded most when he said in conclusion, so.
Yeah, that's true. But you notice there were no fruits being thrown at him. You noticed that.
I know. This speech is pretty long, though.
It was pretty long, yeah. It was a good couple hours there, I think.
It didn't have any theme to it. It just kept going randomly.
Whereas Cuomo gave a long speech, 35 minutes, but it was a good speech, I think.
I thought it was inspiring.
Yeah.
Well, he was good, and...
I mean, I couldn't sit down for about 2 hours after that.
You were just so excited, bro.
It was amazing. It really was.
Gore gave a good speech, but really, some of it didn't really have anything.
I don't know. I just think it was so melodramatic. It was like, you know, having 30-something on. Okay. I didn't care for it all that much. That poor kid, he's going to be traumatized for life now. I mean, getting hit by a car is one thing. Having to stand up in front of all those people and I don't know.
And this chanting, was this chanting everybody?
I couldn't make out anything they were chanting.
And
when Clinton tried to make, I forget what chant he started. He started some chant at the end of his speech. It sounded so terrible, you couldn't make out what any of them were saying.
Oh, they had to have interpreters there telling you what they were saying.
Yeah.
And I thought that was good. Because
we can do it. That was it. We can do it. And it just didn't sound like that at all. It sounded terrible. It's not a good chanting type of phrase.
But none of the chants really worked. Except when Gore did it. Because Gore and Cuomo, and to some extent Jackson, really got the crowd into it.
Yeah. Well, they know how to do it.
Yeah, Clinton's not that great of an orator, though, if you think about it.
Yeah, I guess not.
Obviously, Al Gore is an experienced orator. Because in U.S. News, they said that he was, like, born to be president. His father was a senator. His mother had something to do with politics, and Gore ran in 88, didn't he?
I believe so. I know he ran at some point, because I've seen his name on campaign posters.
Right, but he didn't go anywhere in the 88 polls.
No, he didn't.
Dropped out right after the New York
Times. Well, this is a sure way in to just go with the winner.
Sure.
Hey, listen, we're going to go to another call.
All right.
Well, thank you for calling. Where are you calling from, by the way?
Wisconsin.
Wisconsin, okay.
Right,
thanks for calling. 632-6901, 632-6500. I just have to hear it one more time. Our special mix here.
We ready? Lockdown,
no matter how many times I hear it, I never get tired of it. Good morning.
Yes, this is Mr. Quayle.
Boy, you've had some bad times recently, haven't you?
Yes, I have.
Yeah.
This was not a Democratic convention.
What was it then?
This was a group of stupid people getting together and just bashing George Bush and Dan Quayle and the Republican Party and defining the problems with no answers.
You see where they gave the kid that spelled potato right a VIP pass to the convention?
I know, that's pretty stupid.
I thought that was pretty incredible.
I would rather have a vice president who can misspell potato than one who uses drugs, like Al Gore.
So tell us about Al Gore's drug days.
He admitted that he smoked marijuana, and that's, I think, what cost him.
Did he inhale at least?
Yes, I think he did inhale.
Well, at least we've got somebody that knows how to do it in the White House, then.
I know. He's just a typical tax and spend liberal. And yet they say that moderates, George McGovern, he ran for the president once, and he said they were really liberal underneath.
Uh-huh.
And I think Dan Quayle, this is just a Dan Quayle bashing show, isn't it?
Well, I guess with you on now, it's complete, but I didn't think so. I mean, I'm not setting out to bash anybody.
You always bash the Republicans.
I just report the news, and if the news happens to bash them, then they get bashed, I guess.
You like Al Gore?
I'm not sure yet, you know. I think he's got a good record, but Tipper really bothers me. What do you think of Tipper? You must really like her.
Yes, I do, as a matter of fact.
All right, you see, that's my dilemma here.
I like, she's a very conservative person.
Uh-huh, you see what my problem is, then?
No, that's not a problem.
Well, it's my problem, you see, because how can I support this guy if he's got this, you know...
Right, just because she's in favor of getting, people like Ice-T not to make comments like that and getting curse words off records. What's so wrong with that?
Well, I think if people want to hear that, they should have the right to. That's all I have to say. I'm not saying that people should say it. I'm not saying that it's right, but I'm saying people should be able to if they want to. It's always so hard to argue that side because the Republicans have it easy. They can stand up for what they believe in and make that the way of the land. Democrats have it much harder, though, because they have to stand up for what other people might believe in, you know, and stand up for their rights, not just their beliefs. You see what I mean?
You know, like Slick Willie's economic plan? To raise taxes on the rich? That is just absolutely stupid. And he's just saying anything to get elected. Now, look, I'd say that 95% of all middle-class people in America who work for somebody, that person is rich, whether they be their boss or the corporation. And Bill Clinton wants to raise taxes on them. What do you think they're going to do? They're not going to give up their Mercedes just to pay for these taxes.
Well, wait a minute. If they're rich, then they can afford the taxes, right?
Well, they have to run a corporation and businesses, and they're going to lay off middle-class people, and they're going
to... Well, why do they have to lay people off if they're rich?
Because they have to pay for the money, lots of money that they're going to have to pay, thanks to Slick Willie.
But you said they're not going to give up their Mercedes. Well, maybe they should give up their Mercedes, then, if it's a choice between that and plunging their business into bankruptcy, right?
And they also have another alternative to raise the prices on the products that they sell. It's exactly what happened during the Jimmy Carter years. With Jimmy Carter, the Democratic president, working with the Democratic Congress, that's what happened. And it caused a recession of high unemployment in the 11 and 12% figures.
Well, I think people are remembering this recession a lot more than that recession.
No, I don't think so. Unemployment was much higher, probably about 4 or 5 points higher. And he wants to spend like crazy in his 22-page economic plan. It's just this tax and spend. That's it. And he says he wants to help the children of America, the poor, needy children who have been neglected for the last 12 years. But yet, his state ranks second to last in child poverty. Now, I don't think...
Well, where was it 20 years ago? I think it was dead last then.
When he became governor, I don't know what year, though, but his state was one of the poorest states in the United States, and it still is.
Well, it's kind of hard to turn that around in the middle of a recession, I think.
How's he going to turn around the whole country in 4 years?
It's not going to be easy after 12 years of what we've been through.
What do you mean, what have we been through?
Well, now we're the largest debtor nation in the world. I mean, that's going to have an effect, you know.
I don't think so.
You don't think so? You don't think having all this massive debt that's going to be around for centuries, probably? You don't think that's going to affect us?
Would have been in better shape if we had President Carter and President Mondale running this country?
Well, you see, the problem with these people is they're wimpy. We need a strong Democrat, somebody who's not afraid to say they're a liberal. You know, somebody who's not afraid to stand up to people that they don't agree with. And Carter was not strong. Mondale was not strong. McGovern was not strong. Dukakis was not strong. Maybe Clinton will be. I hope so.
No, he won't. And I don't see how you can say that Bill Clinton is going to win. And you said before that Ross Perot is probably going to support Bill Clinton?
It seems like they've already said positive things about the Democratic Party, so yeah, I do think he will.
Ross Perot enthusiastically supported George Bush in 1988. Why would he support Slick Willie, who's going to raise the taxes?
Well, because of 1989, 1990, 1991, and 1992. That's why.
Let me tell you something. Did George Bush failed this country? Yes or no?
You're asking me?
Yes.
Of course he has.
And yet one of the first things that Bush did when he took office in 1989 was to send an economic growth package to Congress. And what did the Democratic Congress do? They waffled, they whiffered, and they wavered. And he did it the second time, and they did the same thing, and the third time. Now why don't they just pass this bill instead of their tax and spend policies, which are just going to increase the budget, the deficit. And George Bush, when the three networks rejected him, they weren't going to put him on the air, and he wanted to get out his balanced budget amendment, which would control the deficit and help stop spending and reduce it. The Democratic Congress did not pass it. They defeated it. I don't see how you can blame George Bush for these problems. And you think Slick Willie's going to be the answer. He's not. Nobody can trust him. I'd rather trust Charles Keating to be president than Slick Willie. He cheated on his wife. He admitted that after the Super Bowl in 60 Minutes. He lied about Jennifer Flowers. He dodged the draft, and he still says he didn't do that. He smoked drugs, just like Al Gore. Dan Quayle has never smoked drugs. George Bush has never smoked drugs. Yet the two Democrats who are running for the president and vice president have.
And, you know, I've said in the past that I would feel much more comfortable with a president that I know has done acid, because at least I know that they have experienced something other than their own boring lives for just even a few minutes.
Were you...
While they may not have done drugs, they certainly are responsible for a bit of corruption in their time. I mean, look at the SNL scandal. Bush is into his neck on that. His sons are in on that, for God's sake.
How does he have to do anything to do with that?
How does he have anything? His son was implicated in that. It's a big cover-up keeping him from being prosecuted. That's one of the most massive cheating things I think has ever appeared in this country.
No, speaking of cheating, Bill Slick Willie Clinton gave money and gave it to his wife's law firm. How do you think Slick Hillary makes $193,000 a year?
Well, I think being a lawyer, you can make that kind of money, and he has vigorously denied that allegation.
That's true. What about Jennifer Flowers? Do you think...
I don't care about Jennifer Flowers. I really don't.
I don't mind the fact that he had sex with Jennifer Flowers.
It's none of our business. It's between him and Hillary, and if they think it's okay, fine with me. I don't care. But I really don't.
You know, I knew Ross Perot would fade.
Yeah?
He's a loser. What does he stand for?
I figured he'd fade a lot later than this, though. I figured he'd fade after he announced his candidacy, at least.
No.
He never announced his candidacy. Never.
He never stood for anything. And it was just dumb people that wanted to support him.
Well, I think it was desperate people, but let's not get caught up on definitions.
Now Slick Willie will get... He has probably got 65% or 70% of the Ross Perot voters.
Uh-huh.
Rush has the rest. But when they go into that booth in November, they're going to say, who do I trust? Who do I know will lead this country? And they're going to think of George Bush.
And they're going to start screaming, and then they're going to be asked to leave.
If you want real change, you put in a Republican Congress. Have we ever had that in the last 30 years?
Oh, Lord.
No.
Well, we also have... I've never had space aliens land on the White House lawn. Never had an earthquake in Midtown Manhattan. There's a lot of things we haven't had.
All right, if Bush took a test on how he did as presidency, how would you grade him as a percentage?
That's kind of hard as a percentage. I mean...
Test, like, did he get 90, an A?
I mean, because you would take zero as something really negative, when in actuality I'm trying to be constructive.
You know, Thursday, I'm not sure, it said in the paper that the Democratic delegates think that Dan Quayle will be a Republican nominee. Don't you think he will? Who else is his competition? Who would you rather have, Jack Kemp or Pat Buchanan or Dan Quayle?
Well, I can't think of any good Republicans.
Oh, you can't think of any good Republicans.
You know, I mean that the way it sounds, too, but, It's hard to imagine because I can't think of any at the moment.
Don't you think the media and comedians are being too hard on Quayle?
No, I think he should be able to take it.
Why? What does he do?
What does he do? Good question. Tell us, what does he do?
I think he has gone to other countries. He's given millions and millions of dollars to Latin American countries. He's persuaded other governments to aid.
Uh-huh.
He's campaigning for the president. He's always been prepared. He's qualified. He served in the House of Representatives for 4 years, in the Senate for 8 years, I believe. And he's been vice president for 3.5 years. And I don't see how you can say he's not qualified to be president. I think you're just learning this from Jay Leno and Saturday Night Live.
No, I don't watch any of these people. I just read what he says and see what he does.
Paper do you read?
All of them. I think it would be very interesting to have him as a president. Let's put it that way.
I think he would do a damn good job. Before I go, I have my top 10, 11 ways in which we can better America.
What do you mean top 10? You mean you're going to read 110 ways to better America?
Oh, top 11.
Oh, you said top 10, 11, so 10 times 11 is 110. Okay, top 11, that's fine. Go ahead.
I'll start at number 11. Public hangings. I think we should have them for people who kill, like, rape and murder 5 people or more. I think we should hang them.
Why hang?
I think so we could set examples for little teenagers and other boys out there who want to kill, like in South Central L.A.
But what's so special about hanging?
I think it would get the message across. Once they, if you see a little black kid from South Central LA who's 13 years old and who's gotten in trouble with the law already, and he sees someone hanging dead, they think that would that could happen to them. I think they'll change.
Well,
number 10.
Yeah, it sounds like you really want to go back in history. Okay, go ahead. It's your neck.
Number 10. Oh, longer prison sentences. I think we should have much longer. I think just because you belong to a gang like the Bloods or the Crips, you should be put in jail. And I think number 9, term limits on congressmen and senators. People have been in Congress, do nothing for so long, we have to get them out.
You know, you really scare me sometimes because that's something I agree with. Wow.
Okay, number 8. Welfare recipients have to work or they don't get paid. They can't sit on their butt all day and do nothing. The other day, go around picking up garbage around the neighborhood or work for a charity. They have to work or they don't get paid.
Do you count trying to raise a family as working?
Well, they put them in the daycare center.
Well, why not? Well, somebody else has to care for them then. It's just transferring the same responsibility.
That's coming up later, what you just mentioned.
All right.
Number 7, build the Buchanan fence. The Great Wall between the United States and Mexico would cut down on immigration, and I think it would greatly help the states of Texas and California. And we get rid of some of these Mexicans who just want to eat up our tax dollars.
And you hire the Mexicans to build the wall, too, thereby providing employment. Add that to your list.
No. Number 6, we take all the troops stationed in Asia and Europe and bring them home here, give them other jobs, but that the government will give, like, immigration control or working on fight against drugs, and some of them we station against the station them along the U.S.-Mexican border to keep all the immigrants out. Number 5, no more foreign aid. I think we can use that to help the homeless instead of giving it to Israel. I don't think we should give any money to Israel, by the way. Number 4, no more immigration. Not one more immigrant to this country except from Canada, Great Britain, and Japan.
Why?
What do you mean, why?
Why those three?
Because Canada, I don't think they're going to be a problem to us. They're going to help us. I think Canada, if we only had immigrants from Canada, I think they would do much better if we only had immigrants from Mexico. And
well, now, I don't understand what you mean by they won't cause trouble. What kind of trouble do they cause?
Canadians don't cause any trouble at all. Mexicans are the ones who form gangs and kill people and steal and rob stores.
Really? I'll have to keep that in mind next time I hang out with Mexicans. But go ahead.
Okay, number 3. I said this before, birth control coupons to people on welfare. I think this would greatly help them and us, too.
What is a birth control coupon?
Yeah, what?
How does a birth control coupon work?
People on welfare get food coupons. Well, they give them birth control coupons this year. Only use this government money for birth control. And that way they wouldn't have 7 kids, and they'd always stay in poverty if they had 7 kids. If they had no children or 1 child, maybe they can get out of poverty. Number 2. Operation Deportation. We use money funded by the government to keep out all illegal aliens, take them back to the country where they came from. And that also included is Mexicans who are on welfare, and all any immigrants on welfare, they leave the country if they've been on welfare for a certain period of time.
Let me ask you, do you think Mexicans are at the root of all of our problems?
Well, crime.
It sounds that way.
Crime, drugs, and Mexicans.
Uh-huh. Okay, we'll finish up.
Number 1 reason to a better America is elect J. Danforth Quayle as President of the United States.
Okay, well, I'm sure he'll be most happy for
hey, vote Republican, Bush in 92, and Quayle in 96. Goodbye.
All right. You see, I could go on about why I feel the way I do, but sometimes I just think it's better to let other people say it for me. 632-6901, area code 516. Good morning.
Oh, sorry, Mr. Quill almost put me afoot.
Yeah, he has that effect on some people.
Yeah, I think this show tonight is getting a little too, serious.
Oh, not that again. Not with the seriousness again.
Sorry.
I hate it when people say the show's too serious. I hate that.
It is getting too serious.
I hate when people say that.
It's pretty cool. Now it's starting to get, I don't even know what the word is.
Yeah, I don't know what that word is either. But what would you rather talk about, huh?
I don't know. Well, I guess I'm just going to follow suit and talk about politics.
Well, I mean, you know, it's an open forum here, so people talk about what they want to talk about.
Tonight the Lollapalooza tour kicks off.
I didn't understand a word you just said. What?
Tonight the Lollapalooza 2 tour kicks off in Florida, I think.
Okay.
And that's supposed to be a really good concert. It's coming to Jones Beach soon.
Well, that is exciting.
I know. I didn't know that.
Well, you mean you've been on hold for half an hour now, and that's all you had to say?
Well, no, actually, I just wanted to say the show's getting too serious. Because when I started calling you, it was already like 3 calls about Bill Clinton, and I was starting to get tired of it.
Well, now I'm not forcing people to talk about anything. If they want to talk about something else, they're welcome to. Tell me what's going on out there.
Nothing, really.
Nothing's happening? It's 1:17 in the morning. Nothing's happening?
Not right now. It's too late.
Nothing exciting has happened to you this week?
No, I haven't had time for anything to happen.
Why haven't you had time?
I've been working all week.
Working?
Yeah.
I mean, you don't sound old enough to work.
Yeah, I am.
Really?
I do volunteer work for this theater group.
Uh-huh.
They're doing Annie right now at St. John the Baptist High School in West Islip. They're doing Annie.
Really?
Yeah, it's a pretty good part.
Want to tell us when it's being shown or whatever?
Yeah, tomorrow at 3 o'clock, and next Thursday, Friday, Saturday at 8 o'clock, and next Sunday at 3 o'clock.
Well, that's good. How'd you get into that?
I have no idea. Somebody told me about it, so I just figured I'd go and see what it was about. It was pretty cool, so I decided to stay at stage crew.
That's, it's pretty rewarding work. You might not get rich doing it, but it's definitely interesting.
Yeah, it's really cool to play. It's a good show. All the actors are good.
Uh-huh. From the high school?
No, it isn't high school. It's a creative ministries. It's a Catholic group.
Uh-huh.
And all the profits from it go to, like, the group of the church or something like that. I'm not even sure.
Interesting.
Well, as long as we're on the subject of politics, I do have one thing to say.
Okay.
Bill Clinton, there's one reason I think we should elect him, is that he could, like, save the national deficit because, like, half the money we owe is from past presidents, Bush and, Reagan, all their operations. Clinton's a fairly young guy. We don't have to worry about him getting sick or anything and having to have all these operations. Half of Reagan's organs was shown on CNN.
Ugh, don't remind me.
So, like, by that we could save the... Because, like, taxpayers' money pay for all their operations and stuff.
And when they go senile, too, you know, all the drugs they have to take and nursing homes and things like that.
Really, although I don't think Clinton will mind those drugs too much.
Well, I think he'll supply his own.
Right.
And he'll last a long time because he doesn't really use them when he takes them.
Yeah, I think Mr. Quayle takes the whole Dan Quayle thing just a little bit too far.
Too far?
It's okay to be a fan of somebody, but not, like, obsessed with him.
Well, I sort of wonder what he's going to do in November when the two of them are booted out, you know?
I know, really.
What's he going to do?
It kind of makes you wonder. I think Mr. Quayle is, like, for Dan Quayle, the way John Hinckley was for Jodie Foster.
That's definitely a thought there.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Wait, I'm trying to think. There's one other thing I want to say.
You gotta remember, as soon as you hang up.
Alright, forget it.
That's it?
Yeah, I just want to say hi to a few people.
Go ahead.
Tom, my dad told me to call Chloe in the morning. Valerie, Mike, Matt, Chris, Rob, Beth, and Stephanie.
Okay.
Alright.
Thanks for calling. And our other line is 632-6500. Our primary line is 632-6901. Good morning.
Yes, hello.
How you doing?
Fine. First of all, I'd just like to make a few corrections starting on.
Okay.
Okay, first of all, someone said Ross Perot looks like a Martian or whatever the heck.
Well, they said Nazi. I think somebody said a Martian. I don't know.
If you think about it, Ross Perot looks like a Chihuahua.
Well, yeah, there's that, too. I mean, that's not to say he doesn't look like all the other things.
I'm telling you, he does look like a Chihuahua. I got a picture of Ross Perot and a picture of a Chihuahua right next to each other.
I'm picturing them both of them next to each other, and yes, it's quite a picture there that I've got in my mind.
I'm telling you, they do. And you were saying about the vice president.
Wait, he sounds like a Chihuahua, too. Picture a Chihuahua barking, and then listen to Perot talking.
True, and their barks are bigger than their bites.
Well, that's certainly true. All right.
Also, you were saying about the vice presidential debates.
Yeah.
Well, I think you should make it a vice presidential spelling bee.
You see, I knew somebody would suggest that, and of course, Quayle will just back right out of that. You know, he'll say it's just not fair.
Maybe he'll have, like, a crib sheet or something.
I think arithmetic would probably be the best for both of them.
And I'd just like to say, Brian, stop the Imus jokes. Because he called up before and he keeps calling him Bubba. That's an Imus in the morning joke.
Is that what it is? Not even original. My God.
It's an Imus in the morning joke. It's like he overused it too, and so's Brian.
And we don't need any recycled second-rate DJ jokes on this station now, do we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You also, before, you said something about, like, cute babies or something, like Clinton's baby picture.
Well, we're, you know, speculating as to why he feels compelled to show his baby pictures all the time.
All right, here's another comparison.
Okay.
Is it me, or do all babies look like Winston Churchill?
Well, Winston Churchill did have that babyish look to him, as Jean-Luc Picard does as well. I don't know why, just, you know, something that they do.
It's Patrick Stewart. Jean-Luc Picard.
Yeah, Jean-Luc Picard, the captain of the Starship Enterprise. Who's this? Who's Patrick Stewart?
He's the guy who plays him.
What do you mean the guy who plays him? Jean-Luc Picard is a person.
No, he's not.
What are you telling me?
What?
Now you're going to tell me there's no such thing as a Starship Enterprise.
Well, there's a ship Enterprise, but I don't know about a star. Well, there is a Starship
they
Enterprise.
They cruise around in the galaxies. They go from planet to planet and sometimes back in time.
I don't mean to hurt your feelings, Eric, but there's no Tooth Fairy either.
Well, let's not get into that now. I mean, stick to one thing at a time.
All right, I'm sorry. I'm very... And what's with this Slick Willy stuff? Is this, like, supposed to be referring to Tricky Dick?
I don't know. Maybe it's a reach for that.
Slick Willy.
I don't know. I can't vouch for that kind of thing.
And I do agree with Mr. Quell on one thing, though.
Yeah, me too, and that's what bothers me, when I agree with him on anything. But, I agree with him on something. I forget what it was, but I did agree with him, and it bothered me.
The congressman thing.
Yeah, that was it. That was the same thing.
And that kill foreign aid thing, and the congressman, and bring all the troops back. I hate to hurt your feelings there, Mr. Quell, but those are libertarian ideas.
Ah.
So I hate to, he's probably, like, crying right now. I think alike, like the libertarians. And forget hanging. Why not the guillotine?
Why is everybody has to speak about death all the time and how to kill people? You realize that's all we ever spend our time talking about is how to kill people more effectively, whether it's through war or through executions?
War is the key one with Bush and the rest of the Republicans.
Hmm.
Also, he said George Bush didn't smoke marijuana or do drugs. That's true, but he did smuggle them in with the CIA.
Yeah, but, he stayed, you know, apart from that.
He didn't do any of the stuff, but he did import it.
Uh-huh.
I think the Ramones pretty much sum up Mr. Quell there.
How?
Beat on the brat with a baseball bat.
Yeah, that's one way of looking at it.
Well, that's what I'd like to do with him. I agree with you, though. Tipper Gore stinks like raw eggs.
Yeah, well, how do you reconcile Tipper Gore with all this?
What?
How do you reconcile Tipper Gore with all this? I mean, you know, do you abandon the Clinton ticket because of her?
No, it's just like, it's what you're saying, it's like... And already, it's like the PMRC gets, the PMRC gets $150,000. Already government funding, and if Clinton gets in the White House, don't you think they'll be like pushing? Gore will be pushing a little more money for this, and she'll be the second lady.
Yeah, you know that does bother me a lot. You know, I read something in the paper though about the PMRC. They say it's a two-person organization.
Yeah, her and some other lady.
I thought it was a lot bigger than that.
I don't know. I guess that's how it started. I guess. Like,
no, that's what it is now—a two-person organization. I can't understand that. How two people can get that
much power. Have that much power, just two people.
Yeah, that doesn't... I don't know, there's something wrong with that.
Mm. Also, what do you think of Clinton being handed the fetus there?
I didn't actually see, the video of that, but, I mean, I don't know what these people are trying to prove. I mean, I'm sure he knows what a fetus looks like. You know, aborted... But what are they trying to prove?
I have no idea. I guess because he's pro... he says... Well, the thing is, he's saying that, like, the government shouldn't say that, like, they should, like... The government shouldn't, like, say if abortion's legal or not. People should have their own choice. So I guess that's why they showed it to him.
Mm-hmm.
It's because, like, he's not saying abortion's right or he's pro-abortion. He's just saying women should have their own choice. So I guess they think he's pro-choice or whatever, or pro-abortion.
I like what he said at the convention. He said, I am not pro-abortion, I'm pro-choice.
That's a very
important distinction.
There is a big difference, though. Because, like, a pro-abortion is one thing, and then pro-choice, you're saying they should have their choice about abortion or not.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I'm happy that Perot dropped out, though.
Well, it makes things a lot simpler, but...
No, but the thing is, the media's saying right now, oh, and now there were two. There's not two, there's other parties.
That's true, but let's get real, you know? Nobody else is even being mentioned.
I know, that's half the problem, though.
I know it is.
It's like people are like, as soon as people heard, oh, Perot, third choice, I'll vote for him because I'm tired of the Republicans, I'm tired of Democrats. The media would say more about other third parties, for instance, like the Libertarians,
right,
then maybe people would be looking into that instead of Perot.
The only reason Perot got any attention was because he's a billionaire.
And he was mentioned in the papers.
Right, that's why he was mentioned in the papers, though.
If you mentioned the other third parties, though, people would be looking into those, too, though.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Perot dropping out, though. It's like, I hope more people will be looking for a third choice like the Libertarians. Because, like, Democrats and Republicans aren't really that much of a difference from each other.
Yeah. Oh, no, that's certainly true.
They're not very far. They think they're different, but they're not that much different. They're both, like, want to put more power into the government.
Yep. Okay, well, anyway, anything else you want to say?
I want to say hi to a few people.
All right, go ahead.
I want to say hi to you, because you always whine, because people never say hi to you.
Okay, that's nice. Thank you.
You're welcome. I'd like to say hi to Tom, Damon, Amy, Jason, Mark, Steve, and Javier.
That's a new name.
Well, he's our Spanish exchange student.
Ah, okay.
And I'd like to end by, instead of saying Quill in 96, Maru in 92.
All right.
All right.
Thanks for calling.
All right, bye.
632-6901, 632-6500, area code 516. The program is Brain Damage. This is radio station WUSB in Stony Brook. Good morning.
Hey, Eric, how's it going?
Oh, it's going pretty good. How are you?
Yeah, when did you get back? I heard you were, like, out of the country or something.
Well, I was in Canada for a little while, and I got back about a week and a half ago.
Yeah, a couple weeks ago. Weren't you in, like, St. Louis?
Yes, I was in St. Louis a few weeks before that.
Called and said you almost got arrested for wearing your hat backwards?
Yeah, I had a couple of adventures. We almost got arrested for wearing hats backwards in the mall in St. Louis. And got interrogated coming back into this country from Canada. People didn't like the way we looked and decided to hold us for 3 hours. So, yeah, it's learned a lot about freedom this last couple of weeks.
Because I turned it on, and I didn't remember who it was. I didn't recognize the voice right away.
I think it was Kevin.
Yeah, and then he got to the first caller, and it was you. And it's really stupid, like, wearing your hat backwards so you don't get arrested.
Yeah, well, you know, they have weird logic over there, and they seem to think that if you wear your hat backwards, that means you're in a gang, and they don't allow gangs. It's a very simplistic way of looking at things, and we told them that. And at least we have the satisfaction knowing that we told them that, and we didn't turn our hats the right way. We walked out of the place.
Oh, okay.
And that's what people, I think, should do all over the place. You know, if you're discriminated against because of any reason, whether you're carrying a skateboard or wearing a hat a certain way or you're a certain color or, you know, makeup of any sort, you know, you shouldn't have to take that. There's no reason anybody should have to take that.
That's pretty stupid.
Yeah, and you know, you'll feel a lot better if you stand up to it, too, and let people know about it. I felt the presence of everybody here when I was going through that there, because I knew nobody here would take that, and that's why I stood up to it.
I wouldn't.
I know that.
I just got back from a trip to, I went to a basketball camp down at Villanova.
Uh-huh.
There's a couple of guys from Stony Brook there.
Really?
Yeah, I don't remember their names, though. Yeah, it was pretty cool. They couldn't play during the day, because it was only the high school kids during the day, but at night they let them play with the Villanova kids.
Yeah.
They didn't stand up to them too well. There was two guys from Villanova. One was, like, I don't know, 7'4", and the other one was 7'1". And then the two guys, the one from Stony Brook was 5'11", the other one was 6'2".
7'1". Man, I can't imagine 7'1". That's something.
It was pretty cool to watch them play, though.
Yeah.
Then don't even, almost hit his head on the rim.
You don't even have to jump up to put the ball in the basket there.
No, not really. He had about a 6-inch vertical leap.
Wow.
He didn't need to jump, though.
7'1". I can't believe it.
It was pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, how come you were at basketball camp?
How come I was?
Yeah.
So I can get a little better for next year.
Uh-huh.
Everybody can use a few tips from people.
Yeah, even I could use some tips.
Yeah, it was pretty fun. It was tiring, though. They work you pretty good.
Yeah.
They, two games every day and stuff, and just, like, drills and practices and work out and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you wake up at 7, go to bed at 11 every day.
Wow.
Basketball.
And nothing but basketball all the whole time.
It's fun, though.
Uh-huh.
I go back.
Well, I imagine it's fun if you're into basketball. Imagine somebody there that doesn't like basketball. It'd be hell.
Yeah, they wouldn't go if they weren't into basketball because they wouldn't pay the money.
You know, what if they had, you know, Nazi parents that sent them? Anything's possible.
I don't know. Parents probably wouldn't pay for it, though. $300 for 5 days.
That's what it costs, huh?
Yeah.
It's, $50 a day of basketball there.
Yeah, but it was worth it. I think it was worth it.
Yeah, you come back a better player than when you left?
I think so.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And where do you play? You play on a team?
Center Reach High School.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, are you going to be the star this year?
I don't know about that.
Yeah.
I've been playing the spring league and stuff, so.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to get better, hopefully.
Great. Well, you got the rest of the summer to practice, too.
Yep. Been practicing today, too.
Yeah.
In fact, yesterday, I was really tired. I went to sleep. Couldn't sleep on the bus ride home. The bus driver didn't know where he was going. It should have took 3 hours. It took 7.5.
Where was he coming from?
Going over.
And where did he wind up?
I don't know. We had to go to Amityville High School.
Right.
But he, like, took every back street there possibly was to get back here. And he didn't take, like, he took, like, the major highway, and then he took the back streets.
I mean, he's, like, hiding from somebody.
I don't know, but it was pretty stupid.
Yeah. Bus ride shouldn't take that long.
I know. Everybody's, like, mad and stuff because they wanted to get home and eat. Haven't eaten. They ate at 7, and they didn't get to eat all day. Couldn't sleep and stuff. So.
Wow. Well, that's you know, the trials and tribulations of becoming a basketball person.
Yeah.
All right, best of luck.
All right, thanks a lot. I'll talk to you next week.
All right, take care.
Bye-bye.
632-6901-632-6500, and let's take a break for a couple of minutes and hear yet another song. Now, it's not going to be London's Burning this time. It's going to be something a little different than that. This is from a band called The Price, cover of a Clash song called English Civil War.
When Johnny comes marching home again, hurrah, hurrah. He's coming by bus or underground, hurrah, hurrah. His face was blue in the light of the street as he watched the screech of the animal scream as the new party army came.
And it's the Price doing a remake of a Clash song, English Civil War. And I'd like to read something on this record, which is called The Clash Tribute, The Never-Ending Story, Part 1. And it appears on Released Emotions Records, an import from England. And it'd be hard-pressed to find that, but if you look around, you probably will. 15 years ago, The Clash, along with the Sex Pistols and The Damned, created the British punk phenomenon, and have since proved themselves to be one of the most original and inspirational rock and roll bands ever. Throughout their turbulent 9-year career, they proved themselves to be versatile, creative, internationally popular, and at times bloody awful, i.e. cut the crap. Amen. Schoolboy politics, management, drugs, Spinal Tap-style drummer problems, and inconsistency on record led to their sad but predictable demise in 1985. However, 1991 gave the band a posthumous number one single, a theme from a Levi's advertisement, a far cry from the days when the band used to refuse to appear on Top of the Pops. So Joe, Mick, and Paul, if you are considering reforming, please don't, and remember the line about turning rebellion into money. And we have only about 20 minutes to go in this program. Our number is 632-6901, 632-6500. The area code is 516. Good morning.
What's up?
How you doing?
You said the Clash had a Spinal Tap type drummer problem?
Yeah, well, drummers on drugs and things like that. People being kicked out of bands. It was Top or Head On, I believe, they had all the problems with.
Spinal Tap said, two of the drummers,
Well, yes, that happened in Spinal Tap, the spontaneous combustion. That didn't happen in the Clash. It was the guitarist that happened to.
Wait, who? Well, he was formerly a drummer. Yeah, from Spinal Tap.
So. Really? Yeah, okay. I'm aware of the Spinal Tap incident, the spontaneous combustion, yes.
I'd like to get back to this. First of all, I'd like to say something to Trevor Gore. And that is, give it up. You know, give it up. Because, you know, you're ruining your husband, for one matter. And, she's getting power crazy, I think. Sooner or later, she's going to ban the, Star Spangled Banner because it's too violent.
Well, you know, in all fairness to her, maybe she has given it up. I haven't heard anything from her recently. If anybody has heard something.
I like plotting.
You heard plotting? You think she's plotting?
Plotting something.
Yeah.
Something big, I think.
But yeah, I want hard evidence. You know, I want to see if she's actually up to something. If she is, yeah, I'll definitely come down like a ton of bricks. But
yeah, and plus they're like a little one or two too. The two knobs on the radio, one that like turns the radio off, and one that changes the station.
And there's a plug too.
Yeah, there is. So learn how to use it, and then.
And if there isn't a plug, then there's batteries, and you can deal with those.
Yes, you can.
Yeah, there's all kinds of things.
And also, I found that Clinton and Bush had something in common. Clinton never inhaled pot, and I don't think Bush still hasn't exhaled it.
I think
like in 1970-something, he still hasn't exhaled it.
I think Quayle might have sniffed a little too much glue in his time.
Originally, I think Clinton didn't like it because he didn't inhale. He did it wrong.
Yeah.
But he didn't, it's kind of redundant, so he didn't like it because he didn't inhale. So, and I also have some reasons why Perot dropped out of the race. Number one, figured why should he run the country when he could just buy it?
That's a good point. That's a very good point. I always wondered why he'd want to in the first place.
Number two, he couldn't be seen behind a desk.
Uh-huh.
And number three, I doubt he would be able to even sit in the Oval Office with those years.
Yeah, he'd lose interest pretty quickly, I think.
What?
I think he would lose interest pretty quickly.
Yeah, I wrote down some stuff, so I'm not going to have too much of it.
Yeah.
Also, I think Al Gore is pretty unhappy, not only because his son got hit by a car, but I think Tipper doesn't let him talk to Jerry too well while having sex.
Well, that's possible, too. But I don't think he's unhappy about his son being hit by a car now. I think it's the best thing that ever happened to him.
Yeah.
I mean, he spent a good 25 minutes talking about it at the damn convention.
He's getting some sympathy votes, I think. Yeah, some people are like, oh, I feel sorry for him.
How long ago did that happen, do you know?
I'm not sure. I think a couple weeks ago.
No, it happened more than that.
I don't think it happened that long ago.
No, I'm sure it was significantly longer than a couple of weeks ago. I mean, the kid had no scars. No, it wasn't a couple of weeks ago.
He must be pretty low that he's bringing his son into it to get votes.
Well, you know, you do what you can. There was a big emphasis on family. You notice that? Everybody had their families, and we had to get to know who the Clintons and who the Gores were so we'd feel comfortable with them in power.
Yeah, Clinton made a point of that. Like, all the people that were trying to, like, go through life without mother or father, like, they could join his family or something.
Right, exactly. It's the whole Murphy Brown thing. And how many times is the word God mentioned, too? I mean, you think it was Republicans at one point.
Al Gore, but he must be pretty desperate, I think, to, you know, drag his son getting hit by a car. You know, it must be, like, mentally scarring for him in the first place, but to be dragged out in public, oh, my son got hit by a car.
Can you imagine 20 years from now, you know? I'm the kid that got hit by the car, you know, that's all he ever amounts to in life, you know?
But if Al Gore didn't have a wife, I think he'd be doing much better. Because there's, like, a fear of, like, him getting power and then his wife's going to pack for his...
I suppose.
The voice or his wife's not.
All right. Well, any other thoughts?
Not really. I'd just like to say hi to a few people.
Go ahead.
Kevin, Jeremy, Jason, Mike, Chris, who else? Dan, Jeremy, and that's all I can think of.
Okay.
Thanks for
calling. Good morning.
Good evening, Ed. This is George Bush again.
George Bush again?
Called you last week, remember?
Yes, and I thought we had made it clear that you're not to harass us anymore, Mr. Bush.
No, Eric, I did you a big favor, you know. I called people in St. Louis.
We can trace these calls, you know.
Oh, you do that?
And we can, even though you're long distance, we can trace you.
Up there on
F41, though. Cellular call. Oh. Excuse me. Well, we can't trace those yet, but we can try.
You know, Eric, I called those people in St. Louis.
Yeah?
And they said you can wear your hat backwards. I'm sitting here on Air Force One with my Baltimore Oreo hat backwards.
Well, you better not let certain gang members know that they have surface-to-air missiles, you know.
This is Eric. Thing.
Yeah.
Well,
I suspect if you go down to the Northwest Plaza in St. Louis and wear your hat backwards, they'll have something to say to you.
Not gonna do it.
Yeah, well, you're smart for not doing it.
You know, but I had that woman fired, or should I say, dismissed, up there, and people came to all the trouble at that border.
Yeah, you dismissed them, huh?
I'd like to grant you something right now.
I hope you tortured them on the way out, too.
Since you've been so nice to me, I'd like to grant you something right now.
All right, grant me something.
I'm granting you a press conference right now. Whatever you
want to
ask me, ask me now.
Okay, you
going to
dump quail or not?
Excuse me?
Are you going to dump quail or not? Or do we have to do it?
Not going to do it.
You're not going to dump quail? Why not?
Guys, you're a very qualified man. I don't know what that Mr. Quail person was talking about. No affiliation with the party. Bad views. Don't like him. Like him at all.
Now, look, be honest with me, Mr. Bush. Mr. Quail is a liability. He's like a disease, isn't he, though?
You could call me George.
Whatever. Now, answer the question about Mr. Quail.
Hmm?
I mean, he is a liability, isn't he?
I don't know. I feel that he's necessary. Don't think he's going to get elected in 96, though. Wasn't supposed to say that.
Is he... You can answer this for us now.
Yes.
Are the rumors true about him being tutored privately?
Yeah, you know they are. After he did that,
uh-huh.
The people at Hooked on Phonics said, get back to Danny now.
It is Hooked on Phonics. I was wondering if that was the one. I'm glad you cleared that up for us.
And any other questions?
Well, just a warning, really. The Hooked on Phonics can be kind of dangerous. It is addicting, I hear.
You know, I got a big surprise for you. You're going to be the first one to hear this right now.
Okay.
One of my speakers at the Republican convention at the Astrodome.
Yeah.
My friends. Ronnie Reagan.
I know about this. It's going to be Monday night, He's not going to be the keynote speaker, but he is going to talk on for quite some time and put people to sleep. But that should be interesting.
How do you know about that?
I found out about these things. I've got my ear to the grindstone.
Supposed to be an exclusive for you.
Well, how is the old Ronster doing anyway?
He's doing pretty good. Got that library up there.
Yeah, I bet he just spends all his time in it.
You know, I'm sending Danny up there just to catch up on his grammar.
Well, that's good. That's good.
Come on, give me some more questions. Ask me about my views and all that good stuff.
I think we know what your views are. I think that's you spent enough time showing us your views over the last few years.
Did I tell you I talked to Ross the other day?
You talked to who?
Mr. Perot.
Oh, Ross Perot. Okay.
He called me up and he said, before he dropped out, he said, George, I'm dropping out. I just wanted to let you know.
Well, no, I heard you called him.
No.
You interrupted your vacation at a remote spot in Wyoming, a fishing trip, and you called him to congratulate him on a job well done.
No. Press was wrong this time.
Okay.
He called me.
He called. Well, how did he call you at your remote fishing vacation in Wyoming then?
Oh, well. Called the White House. Those good people down there.
They are good. They can find anybody, and I imagine they can find the president, too.
Oh, when I was with the CIA, I learned how to do that stuff.
Uh-huh.
All my people how to do that. Taught the people well.
Yeah. Do you have a beeper?
Yes, I do.
You do?
I do.
That's good. I always wondered who would beep to the president.
You know, they're very important beeps.
Yeah, I bet one beep is more important than another, I suppose.
Yeah, I got a whole system of beeps.
Yeah?
Different people, different beeps.
Yeah, I'm aware of systems like that.
It's a very complicated system, and you're a very smart young man, and I think that you know what I'm talking about.
Right, I do, and I just wonder if Dan Quayle would ever be able to figure it out, you know?
You know, tried to get Saddam a couple weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
Didn't work out too well.
What, you beat Saddam?
No. Tried to get him. Tried to just knock him out of the earth.
When did you try? You mean last year?
No, a couple weeks ago.
A couple weeks ago? Well, how'd you do that?
Had some secret people in there and tried to get him.
Maybe you shouldn't be telling me this.
No, I like you. You're a nice boy.
Well, yeah, but keep in mind that there's millions of people listening right now, and that's not including the Armed Forces Network.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, because they're tied into this broadcast as well.
Bad move by me, huh?
Well, I figured I should warn you about that.
Thank you for warning me. I went too much into it.
It's my job, Mr. President, is to warn you.
You're a very nice boy. Come on, this is a press conference. Do you ask questions?
Right. Well, you know, I think, you know how the president always gets up and walks away and says no more questions?
I'm not going to do that.
Well, why don't you let us do that for a change? I like to see the press, you know, and the president stand there and say, anybody else? Nobody? Really? How about you? No.
Because, you know, you're a nice boy, and I want the people's input, too.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, next week, if you want to take questions this week...
Next week we will be doing teleconferencing, so you'll have the chance to meet the people.
I can meet the people.
Oh, yes, meet them one-on-one, just like
one
a party.
One thing I'd like to do.
Yes, sir. What's that?
August 14th?
Yeah.
I'm going down to St. Louis. I'm inviting you down. Come with me. We'll go down to that mall together. I'll wear my Baltimore Oriole hat backwards.
Uh-huh.
Big fan?
I have a St. Louis Cardinal hat. I don't know if I can take the trauma of going back to that place.
You don't think so?
I don't know. Ask me in a couple of weeks.
I'll fly you in on Dan's plane, not Air Force One, because if anything happens to me, I don't want anything to happen to you because you're a nice boy.
Has Dan ever messed with that plane?
No.
Okay, all right.
The control room door when he's on the plane.
Okay, that's all I wanted to hear.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye. I'd just like to say you're a nice boy, and
I think you said
next
that.
Week if all I right. get a chance, you know.
Thanks for calling, and have a swell week.
You too. You're a nice boy.
I can be so tiresome sometimes. Good morning.
Hello, how you doing?
I'm fine.
I thought you'd never get to me.
I thought so too.
I'm getting worried.
We can't just hang up on the president, you know.
That's no big deal.
That's okay. What's on your mind?
Oh, man, this election is really getting me bumped.
Yeah?
On
Four more months, that's what you got to worry about.
Yeah. It's a scary thing now. It really is now that he's taken Al Gore on. Now I'm really getting scared.
Well, what exactly are you scared of?
The Gores.
You scared of both Gores or just one Gore?
Both of them. They're both as bad as each other.
Well, how is Al Gore bad?
He's married to her. He thinks the same way as her. They're both fundamentalist Christian, Baptist, whatever the hell they are.
Are they really?
Don't think that just because she's involved in that, he's not.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sure he's linked to it. I mean, he can't do that kind of thing, you know, while he's away and expect him not to know about it.
Right. He believes just as much as she does in it, in censorship and whole God thing and getting involved in that stuff. And don't think Clinton doesn't know about this. He knows about it as well, or else he wouldn't have taken it on. So
but,
they're all into it.
Okay, but let me ask you a question. Which do you think is, you know, the lesser of the two evils?
I don't know.
That's the thing that I've been toying with over the last few days.
Because I'm thinking also, I'm looking down the road. I'm looking towards the Supreme Court. I'm thinking, the person who's going to get the next nomination is really going to be very decisive.
Exactly.
And I'm thinking, if we have Bush do it, probably going to get some conservative on there who's probably not going to be pro-choice, most likely.
And that's the end of Roe versus Wade, most definitely.
And then I'm looking down the road, I'm seeing Clinton, and he'll probably go for someone who is pro-choice. And that's something you got to consider also.
Uh-huh.
But then again, the other thing is the four years while he's VP and she's second in command or whatever, or maybe actually in command, you got she'll get a lot more funding, she'll get a lot more involved, and it gets bigger and bigger. And that person I called before and said the PMRC are not getting involved, and I think they're just as strong as they ever were. As a matter of fact, I just saw something recently. I read a letter from the PMRC, and what they do is they send out these letters to people who request them, and they're telling people now to look out, to spy, how we say, on radio stations, on schools, on TV broadcasts, anything. If you hear something you don't like, you hear a nasty word, you write it down, and you don't send it to the radio station. You send it to the federal agencies, you send it to state legislatures, and you try getting them off yet, and then you send one to the PMRC, and then they take care of it.
And you don't even tell the radio station that...
It has nothing to do with the radio station, it has nothing to do with TV or the newspaper. You bypass them, you go above their heads, and you tell it to the PMRC, and they'll take care of it.
I'd certainly like to see that. I'd like to see any of that...
You write to them. I don't know if I have the address in my room right now.
Are they in what, D.C.?
Yeah.
All right, I'll see what I can find out now.
Yeah, write to them, ask them for literature. They'll tell you that. You'll see this stuff. It's scary. It really is.
Uh-huh.
Just because they don't do anything, that they're as active as ever, but their activeness is secrecy. That's the thing. They don't come right out and get people right away. It's a growing thing. This has been going on for a while.
It's not
like a recent thing. This has been going. And they get knowledge, they get involved with that, but the religious right gets in there also. The ego form. They all get into it, They get involved in the PTA. They scout out, each school district. They try weeding their views into it, sending out literature to doctor's offices, to schools, and they slowly but surely keep building up until you get to a point where everything you is turned around is related to somehow Christian fundamentalism or related to this or that. And what are you going to do then, How are you going to fight that when it's everywhere? You got to try getting into it now while it's small, while it's, still spreading. Once it gets out everywhere and it's accepted, I mean, they were able to get Darwin out of textbooks, out of biology textbooks, because that goes against the Bible.
Uh-huh.
I mean...
Are these the same people, though?
The religious right, who were also involved with PMRC, a lot of the ministers and things like that. I forget that guy, Colonel something or other. He's into that stuff also. Falwell, all those guys.
All right, let me see what I can find out about this.
Yeah, definitely write to them. Just ask them for literature. Say, yeah, I mean, whatever. I don't have the address on me right now. But
all right, we'll see if we can get it.
Okay, read it on the next show.
I'll try.
It's a scare. They have a whole list on things, on what you can do. That's what it says. The back of the sample says what you can do. I'll see if I can get it, and then I'll call. If you don't have it, I'll call them next time with it, and I'll read it or something like that. But this is just offhand, I'm saying.
Okay, listen, thanks so much for calling. We got to go.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Okay, take care. We're going to actually see if we can get some information on these people. If they're where I think they are, my guess would be that they're in...
What city is this? This is Lisa.
Washington, D.C.?
Yes, sir.
Yes, hello. I'm looking for the number for the Parents Music Resource Center.
Sorry, I don't have anything listed by that name in D.C., sir.
Maybe the initials PMRC?
something nicer. I'm sorry.
Okay. Thanks anyway.
Thank you.
That actually makes me feel better. But if you know where the PMRC is, tell us. If you spot them, don't tell them. Tell us. And you can write to us, Care of Brain Damage, here at WUSB, State University of New York, at Stony Brook, Stony Brook, New York, 11953. And let's see who else is out there. Good morning.
Hello, this is Joey Boyle.
No, it's not. Good morning.
Hey, Eric, it's Brian Hyde. Can I just say one thing before I go?
All right, you said it. Good morning.
Hello.
Yeah.
Yeah, Eric.
I get real rude late at night, but when people call three times, it's enough.
Yeah, it certainly is, especially when they're talking about the jockstraps and basketball. And
well, yeah, things like that, you know.
Yeah, anyway, Ross Perot?
Yeah.
Does he look like Frank Perdue?
That's the person I've been thinking of. Yes, he does look like Frank Perdue, and he even sounds a little bit like him, but not Frank Perdue with his high-pitched.
Perot Perdue, 92, takes a tough man to make a tender nation.
And Frank Perdue is still alive, too, isn't he?
Yeah.
You know, I mixed him up with Tom Carvel. He's not.
Oh.
All right.
That was that. What if I was on? I wanted to tell you, Tipper Gore, she has been moderating her stance in recent months, or I don't know if it was a concerted effort, but she has actually come up against some forms of censorship that were presented to her.
Uh-huh.
She took a much more moderate stance.
Okay, I'd like to see evidence of that, too. I mean, we have to be fair here, and that she's
waking
up.
From things that I've read recently about her, she has moderated and not come out, you know, so far and against, you know, out-and-out censors. She's not been an out-and-out censor.
Right.
You know, and has actually come in support, you know, of some freedom of speech there.
Okay, we have to be careful not to generalize about anybody, and, you know, if something has changed, then we should know about it.
Yeah, definitely. And, I wanted to ask you about, what do you know about those guys, the, not the Legion of Doom, the Masters of Destruction, the ones that were arrested at your little coffee clutch in the city.
At where?
At Citibank Plaza.
That's not where they were arrested.
Oh, well.
That's where they show up for the monthly 2600 meetings. And, yeah, they're friends of mine. They're good people, too.
Right. Well,
that's all I can say
right
now.
What's the story with that? Are they, like, going to jail or anything like that?
Right now, they're being threatened with up to 55 years in jail for playing around with computers, which
just playing with computers.
Absurd, you know. But we've seen this so many times before, and it's, you know, it's a usual hysteria. I'll give you an example, okay, and this will be our closing thought for today. On a TV show a couple of years ago, a TV show I was on as well, a couple of these people that have been arrested now said that they once left a message on a computer system saying that, saying happy Thanksgiving, you turkeys, or something like that, to a computer system that had absolutely no security whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
And they said that they left a, you know, a prank message on this system. They said this on Channel 4 2 years ago. The Associated Press, which we pay money to have piped into here, and which every newspaper in the country runs stories from, the Associated Press took that to mean that 2 years ago, they flashed the message, Happy Thanksgiving, you turkeys, over the entire NBC broadcasting network.
Oh, geez.
So you can see how, you know, they
it's
don't...
What's the old game, telephone operator?
That's exactly it.
Yeah.
You hit the nail right on the head. That's exactly what they're doing. They're playing the telephone game. It's kind of ironic, I guess. But it's sad. They can't even get the facts straight when the facts are pointed out in front of them.
Yeah.
As clear as they can possibly see. Listen, sir, we're out of time.
Okay. I just would like to say, when you do the show next week,
yeah?
Why don't you play moderator a little more and like you do at the end of the night now, instead of, you know, like make people move along a little bit if they're just masturbating on the phone.
Okay, I'll keep that in mind.
Okay.
Thanks for calling. We'll put a 30-second cap on people or something. Anyway, that's our show for tonight. We'll be back again next week, and if I'm around, we'll do teleconferencing. Oh, what fun. See ya.